Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com, tourstaffordva.com. We are going to talk about the holidays in the area with at a number of historic attractions, and three of the best. David Barrett here from Belmont, Megan Budinger from Kenmore, and Alma Withers from Ferry Farm here this morning. Welcome back. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Thank you.
It is. It's hard to believe, David, that we're almost to the holiday season.
Yeah, we're in the middle of decorating as we speak, even before Thanksgiving. So we've got to jump on things.
Between with what I guess decorating at both Belmont and Kenmore, Megan, this is a very festive time within these historic structures.
Absolutely. I think probably historic house museums do their best during the holiday season. That's when they really shine, I think. Certainly at Kenmore. We haven't gotten the jump on it yet that Belmont has. But we will be. The week after Thanksgiving is when we start loading in our decorations.
Okay.
And one of the things that we do is when Megan decorates, she hides little foxes all over the mansion. And then we have a scavenger hunt for the families that when they come in for so that they get challenging the children to find the foxes in the house.
Is there any reason for any historical reason for the foxes?
There is. Believe it or not, there is. Not miniature foxes like we use, but the idea being that in the 18th century, men like Fielding Lewis and George Washington would participate in fox hunts during the Christmas season.
Okay.
That was one of the big events that always happened that time of year. And so we call it tally-ho, a fox hunt, and children can do their own little miniature fox hunt through the house and try to locate these little miniature foxes that we have hidden.
We have talked, Megan, before when you've come in and talked about your the work that you've done just to try to uncover what Kenmore looked like, about how difficult it's been because there hasn't been a lot of a written record.
Right.
Around the holidays, is there much written record? Do you know much about what happened at Kenmore during the holidays?
Sadly, we don't have much. And as we've talked about many times, the written record for Kenmore is sparse. But we do know that at the time that the Lewis family moved into Kenmore in late 1775, they probably were participating in their last holiday season that year before the outbreak of the American Revolution. And they would have been well aware at that time of year what was coming in the next few months. And so that's actually what we interpret during the holiday season, is that last Christmas before sort of the whole world changed, and what that meant for, what food was available, how festive you might be, whether you're having parties, that sort of thing. So we talk about all of that during the tour through the house in December and with our 12th night program in January as well.
And we're going to get into the 12th night and all that as we go along this morning. Alma Withers, not to make you feel left out here, but Ferry Farm is, this is really the last Christmas before next year. The house should be finished.
It should be finished. At Ferry Farm, we're also decorating the house is going to be decorated by the Lake Anna Garden Club.
Mm-hmm.
The outside of the visitor center will be decorated, and inside we will decorate, and we will have the wonderful gingerbread houses for people to come and see. And we've built programming around the gingerbread exhibit. For example, we do preschool workshops.
Yeah.
And there's still room for the if anyone is interested in those workshops, and we vote for the best in show. We have a scavenger hunt. But to top it off this year, you can walk out and visit the house site.
Yeah, and we're going to get into the gingerbread and everything that's involved with that and what you can see. Are you already making plans and thinking about next year when you do have the Washington Family House, how you'll be able to, will you decorate it for Christmas?
We're not sure. We're in the process. That's a Megan question, whether we'll do that or not.
I think probably it will depend very much on exactly how finished the house is at the holiday season next year. We may still have curing plaster and that sort of thing. So we'll kind of have to see.
Yeah.
But I think it's also important to remember, too, that the Washington House is from a much earlier time period in the 18th century than Kenmore is. And Christmas was not really a big deal to the very early colonists. They marked the occasion, but there wasn't much to it at the time. And so I think over the years people have been somewhat surprised at the limited decorations, or the very natural decorations, I guess I should say, that we do in Kenmore, because, again, Christmas was not as big of a deal. Roll that back even a little bit more at Ferry Farm. And so we'll really be having a lot of conversations, I think, coming up in the next year about how exactly we interpret all sorts of things at Ferry Farm, because it's a very different house than Kenmore is.
Yeah. And if they didn't celebrate it, then even though everything is commercialized and there's Christmas everywhere else, if they didn't do it back then I guess you don't want to make it look to something that it's not.
We don't want to make it look like something it's not, but we also want to explain to people how they did mark the occasion.
Yeah.
Right. And some of the things that they did would be very strange to us today, and maybe that's a fun way of teaching people about the time period, is some very different things that they would have done.
The contrast,
exactly.
What are some of the things? What's a thing or two?
Well, for instance, they would actually take dried herbs, rushes, reeds, that sort of thing, and scatter them all over the floors of the house to give the house a nice scent during the holiday season. So if you can imagine walking through a house with bare wood floors and crunching all sorts of herbs and dried plants, that was something they did. And I guess you'd call that decorating, but it was more to add a scent to the air. There would be something very similar to a bonfire night or something like that, marking Twelfth Night or something around that time period. So there would be shooting guns, fireworks, things like that.
All of the things we will not do.
Yeah. Things that we will have a hard time trying to figure out how to interpret that.
Yeah.
A Ferry Farm. But their celebrations were different than ours are today. And I think it'll be fun to try to explain that to people.
Yeah. David, I guess you know much more about what the Melchers did at Belmont over the holidays.
Fortunately, unlike Kenmore, we have a very extensive record of how the Melchers celebrated Christmas through the teens and 20s, and where it was much more what we think about as Christmas celebration today. And the decorations that we'll have are based on not only photographs, but also diary entries and letters that Mrs. Melchers would often write. So we're able to get a feel for the kind of decorations. We even have some of the decorations.
I was going to say, I'm sure they were put away in a box or something.
That we don't always use, but we use similar things in there. Joanna Catron, our curator, has done extensive research over the decades trying to do that. And we're able to recreate some small things, like Gary was often in New York during December attending to business and his commercial interests, and he would always bring things back to celebrate the holidays, and often would bring gifts from New York they had a cook and a maid, and one instance is he brought back one year some red rubber boots for the son of their cook, Archie, and those little boots we try to put out every year, or replicas of them. So little things like that, plus all their records of all their tips for the paper boy and the gardener, and also we even have Mrs. Melcher's eggnog recipe which was a very potent eggnog even during Prohibition, according to her recipe. And Gary would often, they had turkeys that they raised on the farm. They'd have their own turkeys for Christmas dinner. They would have all of the recipes that Corinne collected over the years for her. She's from Baltimore, so Maryland crab soup was very popular. They'd entertain family and guests from around the country would come to visit. So very much like we do it today, but on a different scale, and we're able to show how they would do it. And those the decorations will all be up the day after Thanksgiving when we're open.
I know you've talked in the past about that they especially Mrs. Melcher's like to open the grounds up and invite the town in, the kids especially. Right. Did they do anything at Christmas time?
Not over Christmas. That was an Easter thing.
Okay.
She had an Easter egg hunt for children of local families. But over the holidays, often relatives would visit, either from Detroit, where Gary was from, or from Baltimore or Savannah, where Corinne had come from. And some of their New York friends would come to get away from the city during that time, as they did during the summer as well. So they were always entertaining. They were always very welcoming to anybody during the holidays.
Well, one of the things, just in talking to you just to start off this morning about it, each of your locations, you'll get a much different look at Christmas. So it's not like you go to Belmont Ferry Farm or in Kenmore and you're going to see the same thing. You're going to see in its own unique place how Christmas was celebrated.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Check them all out this during the holidays. David Barrett here from Belmont, Elma Withers from Ferry Farm, Megan Buttinger from Kenmore. We're talking about the holidays and a number of events at each location. We will continue this morning on Town Talk. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Before you're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking holidays this morning at Kenmore, Ferry Farm, and Belmont. Elma Withers from Ferry Farm here, Megan Buttinger from Kenmore, and David Barrett from Belmont, Gary Melcher's home and studio here. David, we'll start off with Belmont. It's you're kind of the home base this year for the Trees of Hope that Los Angeles Hope House does, and these aren't normal trees. These are highly decorated trees, and they're going to be at Belmont starting this weekend.
Yeah, this is the first year that we've been the venue for the Trees of Hope. It's been at different locations around town over the years, and we're very happy to be the place to see the trees this year. We understand there'll be at least 60 trees available to be auctioned off or purchased by the public. The first public event, there are several private ticketed events, but the public hours to see the trees mm-hmm. begin on Friday from 5 till 8 p.m. The public is invited. And also then again on Saturday from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. is when the public can come in and look at the trees and also make a bid. We're doing a special incentive to those visitors. Anybody who purchases a ticket to the Trees of Hope also will get a half-price tour of Belmont at the same time if they want to do that. So we're okay. encouraging people to not only come and see the trees and enjoy the festive spirit there, but also to take a tour of Belmont if they haven't been there before.
Yeah, no, they should. And I guess the trees are over. You've got them in that building.
They're
that's
in our new facility, the Studio Pavilion.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to think of the name, but well, that would be what a nice. That's a perfect spot for it. Just the view you've got there, and with the trees, and you're right there at Belmont.
Yeah, we think so. We think there it'll be hopefully a very successful event for Hope House. The more people that come out, the more benefit to them.
Yeah, yeah. No, when I heard it was going to be at Belmont, and figuring it would be in that building, I just thought, well, that hopefully will be, if it works out for everybody, would be a nice spot, a nice landing spot for it. As far as the holidays go, you've got there are a number of things going on that that people should be aware of.
Well, we have again starting the day after Thanksgiving, our home for the holidays decorating will be available during the tours, so people will be able to see how the Melchers decorated for the holidays. Also, our museum shop will have a lot of new items available beginning right after Thanksgiving. We will be open the entire weekend as far as Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then coming up on December 7th is our Friends of Belmont holiday reception, and that's open to members and guests. So if you haven't ever come to one of those receptions and want to become a friend of Belmont, you can do that online or at our shop. And then we are open during the holiday season, the weeks between Christmas and New Year's, for all those visiting guests and family that you need something to do with and want a place to go and get them out of the house. We're the place to be.
Well, and there are a lot of benefits to becoming a friend of Belmont. You were here just a few weeks ago, and we were talking about you. Was it the end of October that you do your director's tours every now and then,
kind of
behind the scenes at Belmont?
I do that a couple times a year. Of course, members always get a discount on admission and in the shop. They have free admission, in fact, year-round, as well as special events and activities. We often do trips to other exhibitions, other museums for members, as well as special receptions throughout the year. So becoming a friend of Belmont is a great benefit to us, and we think for those that join as well.
Well, and for anybody around here, in any of the three of you and others around here, if you're at all interested in history in the community, it's a big help to join two or three or as many as you can, just because of there are little perks you get, and it's also helpful to the site itself. I mean, you're able to do things when the community gets involved.
Oh, we need that support to be able to bring in everything from guest performers to lecturers and speakers, as well as to do workshops and programs for everything from preschool children on up to adults. All of us are nonprofits. All of us are looking for private funding, this is a way that we can give back to those who support us through the Friends program.
Well, this was a couple of years ago. It was around this time of year that I was over there over at Belmont for something, and spent some time. I was early, and I spent some time just walking around the grounds. And with the leaves off the trees, I didn't realize, because when the leaves are on the trees, you just kind of you're just there, but to see the view from Belmont and how Belmont overlooks so much of this area, it's
and
terrific.
We have one event that is free, the last Sunday of every month, and there will be one on Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. We offer a free guided woodland hike through the trails. We have about a mile and a half of trails through our 27 acres that go down to the river. And through up into the springs and around the property, all led by the Virginia Master Naturalists, who are volunteer guides. And we often get 20 or 30 people on those walks. So it's you meet at 2:00 in the visitor center and take a wonderful walk through the woods.
I guess you're not doing one on Christmas. I think Christmas is what the last
we
Sunday.
It depends on the date. This year we will not be doing it. Last year we did. It was on the 26th, and we got a huge crowd.
I bet you did.
Not on the holiday this year.
Yeah. A little earlier this year, you celebrated a century. It's been a century since the Melchers purchased Belmont. Are you doing anything else on that, or was that was the end of September?
Last year was our 40th anniversary open to the public in 2015, and this year we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Melchers purchasing Belmont in 1916. So we're anniversaried out right now, and we'll see what happens in 17.
I have noticed, and maybe this may have been just up, and I didn't notice it, but the number of signs around Stafford County directing you to Belmont, there are a number of signs now, and I would think that has to help.
Well, that's Stafford Tourism has implemented the wayfinding program, which helps Ferry Farm as well, mm-hmm. and all the other sites, and we know that it's been helpful. We know that people have always had a hard time finding us, especially if they're coming from downtown Fredericksburg, for instance. They have to wind around and find their way, and I think the signage has made it simpler. We really haven't had as many comments from visitors saying, I couldn't find you or didn't know how to get there. But so I think it's been and more signage on the interstate as well, on 95, getting people to us. So I think it's and there's more to come, from what I understand. There's more signage to be implemented over the next year. So that always helps when people are looking. You know, GPS doesn't always get you to the right place.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, again, Home for the Holidays is November 25th through December 30th. I've never seen Home for the Holidays, but I know people who have. Yeah. And the one thing they always say is two things, that it's very colorful and it gives them ideas, their own, gives them decorating ideas.
And we're fortunate. We do the inside decorating, but we're fortunate, as Ferry Farm is as well, we have one of the local garden clubs doing the exterior decorations. And this year it'll be the Chancellor Garden Club doing that.
Do
so we're
great
grateful for them and all the coalition of garden clubs that rotates around to do the decorations every year.
It is Christmas at Belmont, Gary Melcher's home and studio in Stafford. I didn't write it down. It's the website for Belmont, if someone wants to.
GaryMelchers.org.
GaryMelchers.org. I thought so, but I wasn't sure. GaryMelchers.org for Belmont. David Barrett here from Belmont. Megan Buttiger from Kenmore. Alma Withers from Ferry Farm. When we come back, we will talk about gingerbread houses on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, coming up on 8:30.
Okay, listen, we gotta talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking holidays this morning at Ferry Farm Belmont and Kenmore with David Barrett, Megan Buttiger, and Alma Withers. Alma, the gingerbread houses they're a tradition for many, many, many families, mine included, entered gingerbread houses along the way. And it's just something that it's a fun part of the holidays.
This is our 30th year, and we went back through the folders just to look, and we're going to have a blog about it. We're going back, looking back over the 30 years. We're very excited about the possibilities, and our theme, as a matter of fact, is Home for the Holidays. We used that as a theme a couple years ago, and that was during the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. And this little boy from Richmond did a gingerbread house, and it was a camp in Iraq where his father was stationed, and so it was tents, and with an American flag, and so we are excited about how different people interpret our theme, and that's why we think the themes are important. And like I said before, we have built programming around the gingerbread exhibit with our preschool workshops. We have 10 so far. We still have room, and it's for ages 4 to 5, and it's $6 a child. And children get the decorated gingerbread house to take home. They listen to a story, Gingerbread Baby by Jan Brett. They do a scavenger hunt, and then they decorate a gingerbread person. And then they get to choose the vote for the best in show, which is always at the end when we do that. But we are always amazed at the creativity that comes, and we have a set of rules that people have to follow. So
there are a lot of rules, and we've talked about this in the past about you can't just decide on Friday night to make a gingerbread house and drop it off on Saturday. You can't do that.
No, I mean it has to be real. I mean, you have to make the gingerbread, and it has to be decorated with edible unwrapped materials. They can't be canned icing or commercial icing. They cannot be electric power or candles. They have to be a certain size. That it's sturdy, and so we encourage people just to take some time and to to use their creativity to create something.
Well, and like you just mentioned a few minutes ago, some are just terrific. Some of them, they are really professionally done. In the was it either last year or the year before where people did a Kenmore? Or they, I can't remember what they did. Yeah,
yes.
And boy, there were some that were you just looked at that and thought, there was a lot of work involved in that.
And a lot of thought. And we began accepting entries on November the 28th, and we will, through the December the 3rd at 4 o'clock, we extended that by a day, understanding how busy people are, and many times folks can finish it that on a Saturday and bring it in to us.
Mm-hmm. So, and then after they're judged, and then they you can come and see them during the month.
Yes, and then Sunday afternoon we'll have an opening reception on Sunday afternoon for that.
Some years you've had a lot too. I mean, I know that they've been, you've had them. All over the visitor center.
Yes, we've had to be very creative with our with our placements of.
So it is it's Home for the Holidays. This is the 30th year. Have you has anybody done it every year?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Still, that's I guess if you do something for 30 years, it's been successful, and that has been successful. And again, the deadline is
December the Saturday, December the 3rd.
3rd, okay, is the deadline. Anything else that goes on over the holidays at Ferry Farmers is gingerbread's really the big thing.
Yes, it is. Well, but we also have that little house that's going up at the end of the property.
Yes,
that people can come and see and watch the workers and
that
all
is
the
terrific.
Excitement from that.
And if you go to our Facebook page today, there's a video up that that deals with that. So yeah. The house is an exciting thing, and it's going to be a great addition to what you do with all your programming, especially for you involved with in wanting to teach kids things. This is going to be terrific.
Well, and you can follow the house construction on our blog, Lives and Legacies blog. You can also follow those, and you can we're doing profiles of the Washington family, and so you can begin to meet these people, these characters, as well as the folks that lived at Kenmore,
and they're
all one family.
That's the thing. You and Megan come in from with different locations, but you're all the same, and you're all together. Megan, Kenmore has been doing in recent years the Wee Christmas.
That's right. Yes.
And are you doing it? I guess it's everything is ready for it again.
We've just closed accepting entries for Wee Christmas, which is the Dollhouses and Miniature Show at Kenmore. We have load-in day on December 3rd. So while you're judging
gingerbread
over at Ferry Farm, we'll be setting up dollhouses over at Kenmore, and then the exhibit opens the next day on December 4th, and it'll be up through the entire month of December, and it's bigger and better than ever this year. We have so many entries this year that I'm afraid I have to admit my dollhouse will not be in the show.
Question, what?
No. We decided we wanted to make room for new and different dollhouses that people haven't had an opportunity to see yet. So my dollhouse will be retiring for the year. But we do have a lot of beautiful, amazing dollhouses, some really extravagant ones this year. So we're really excited. It's going to be a great show. And, I mean, who doesn't love a dollhouse? They're so much fun. And to see a whole collection of about 21 dollhouses in one place, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, a couple of years ago, you and Elma were in here, and you said you ought to come by and take some pictures and see what you see. And so I thought, okay, I did it just
to make us happy.
Yes. And it was really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of those dollhouses, and yours included, just the care and the intricate details.
The detail is amazing. And there, you know, some of our some of the entrants are really professional miniaturists. This is it's almost more than a hobby for them. It's almost a career. And they make a lot of the little details that are in the dollhouses themselves. They've spent decades tracking down different pieces. Some of the dollhouses are actually antique dollhouses that have been around for generations. So yes, it's just amazing. It's a whole different world.
In your case, your dollhouse was something that you and your dad worked on.
Yes, my dad built my dollhouse in our basement, and I got it as a Christmas present when I think I was 9 years old. And so he built it all by hand, and then we spent the next few years building the furniture and whatnot for it together. And then it had a very sad interaction with my pet cat when I was in high school, and it went into our attic in pieces for a number of years until we decided to start doing a dollhouse show at Kenmore. And then my dad decided that was a great time to get all the pieces out of the attic and see if he could put it back together again. And he did. So it was one of the dollhouses that was on display the last couple of years, which was a lot of fun for me to see all those sort of childhood memories put back together again. And I had just as much fun with it as an adult as I did as a 9-year-old kid playing with it on Christmas Day. So it comes back very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's still in your living room.
It is still in my living room. That is the thing. Once you own a dollhouse, there aren't a whole lot of options as to where to put it. It's rather large. So it is sitting in my living room. My dad said that it would not be coming back to his house again. So.
Do you make little changes to it every now and then?
You know, I do. I have to admit. I keep it set up and furnished at my house. You know, friends who come by with their kids and whatnot, and just, you know, they come to my house to play with the dollhouse.
Yeah.
So I keep it set up for them. But I have to admit, at Christmas time, you know, I find myself kind of looking in stores and whatnot and finding little new details to put into it. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, this is a great exhibit, and I don't know what you've got this year, but what was fun is there were like you say, antique ones, but there also were some more modern ones that were interesting to look at.
Absolutely. We had, I believe it was last year, we had a mid-century modern dollhouse.
Yeah.
We had a California Craftsman. So, you know, they're not just the typical gingerbready Victorian houses. They really run the gamut. We've had cabins. We've had churches. And some of them get quite modern. So there's really a little something for everybody. And it's, you know, even if you've never really been interested in dollhouses or miniatures, stop by. It's really, it's a very different world.
It does. It draws you in.
It really does.
And I guess you can spend hours.
You can. Well, and the other thing, I'm sure you have the situation where as much as you try to keep people back, especially little kids, you want to just touch something to see what it looks like.
It is a huge temptation for people to touch because you just can't believe these little tiny things could possibly be real. But we do ask our visitors to be very mindful. These are people's personal treasures that they have on display. They're giving us care of them for a month while they're at Kenmore. So we do ask people to try their best to restrain themselves from touching.
And we also have a staff person or a volunteer that's there to supervise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's somebody always there in the room.
Yeah.
Again, it's We Christmas Dollhouses and Miniature Show. It's at Kenmore December 4th through the 30th. And it will be closed on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You mentioned a little bit earlier about a 12th night at Kenmore. That's something you've done. That comes up in January.
Yes, so that actually happens in January, and Alma has the dates there for it.
It's January 6th, Friday the 6th, Saturday the 7th, Sunday the 8th, and we added an extra day because it was so popular. And we have a 3:30 performance, 4:15, 5:15, and a 6 o'clock. And charges $12 for adults, $6 for 3 through 17. And what we like to do, because we're putting words in our character, in the, you get to meet the Lewis family, and you get to meet different people. And as the years have gone by, we've researched and added new people, and to the performances. And this year we're focusing on the whole idea that not everyone was a patriot. In the city of Fredericksburg, there were loyalists and there were patriots, and the discussion around that. And so we're going, you'll meet some new people. If you came last year, come again, because you'll get to meet some new
changes.
Characters. Yes.
And this is a dramatic presentation.
It yes. is.
It's, so it's essentially a moving play.
So you're moving from room to room.
You're moving from room to room. There's a scene in each room of Kenmore, with the actors portraying a different moment on Twelfth Night, during the last holiday season before the outbreak of the Revolution.
Bittersweet.
A rather bittersweet time. It becomes evident as you move from room to room that all of the characters, all of these real-life historical figures, are very much aware of what's looming on the horizon, and they discuss what that means for the town of Fredericksburg, what that means for their families, what that means for friends, and they discuss politics, the difference between patriots and loyalists, and because they're, as Alma said, they were both here in town.
Yeah. Interesting. What's the significance of Twelfth Night? Is that was that something that was celebrated back then?
It's actually when the big holiday celebration took place.
Okay.
In the sort of mid to late 18th century. That's Twelfth Night was celebrated a lot like we celebrate New Year's Eve, and it's essentially Epiphany. So it's at the end of the 12 days of Christmas, and so that's when they had the big dinner and the big parties, and you know, that's when gifts were exchanged, that's when you had all the friends and family over. And what didn't really happen on Christmas Day itself, it really happened on Twelfth Night. So that's when the big party was, and Kenmore was designed, it was originally built to be a party house. That's where these kinds of events were supposed to happen. So it's really a great time to see Kenmore being used as it was always intended to be.
Boy, and to see it, especially if you go to a couple of the later performances when it's candlelight.
Dark. Yes, it's by candlelight.
Yeah.
Would be something.
It's really, it's stunning. It's beautiful.
It is 12th Night at Kenmore. It is January 6th, 7th, and 8th. You can go to Kenmore. Is Kenmore.org?
Kenmore.org.
Yes.
Is for Ferry Farm for Kenmore. We're talking about the holidays at Ferry Farm, Kenmore, and Belmont. We will wrap it up. We'll talk about, in case you missed any of it, we'll go over all the highlights again of what you can expect at these three terrific historic attractions in the area. Town Talk, powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We're talking about the holidays at a number of historic sites today, Belmont, Kenmore, and Ferry Farm. David Barrett here from Belmont, and a number of things to see at Belmont this time of year. And you also have something to step away from the holidays a little bit. You've got you've got something else going on.
Well, we want everybody to come Trees of Hope this weekend and come out after Thanksgiving for all of the Home for the Holidays decorations in the house. But just a preliminary announcement that we are last year we did an exhibition called Belmont Portrayed, where we invited artists to submit works for a juried show of portraying Belmont. This year we're doing a sequel called Belmont Portrayed Through a Lens, where I'm inviting photographers to submit works, again, for a competitive exhibition that'll open in March. I'm going to be having all the information up on our website by December 1st. Entries will open in the middle of January, but all the information will be out there December 1st in case people want to take new photographs during this time of year. It'll be open to photographs from all periods, all times, no limitations. So look for that on our website, GaryMelchers.org, and the exhibition's Belmont Portrayed Through a Lens.
And November 25th through the 30th, it is Home for the Holidays at Belmont.
That's all of our decorations. Come take a tour and enjoy it as the Melchers did.
And that's, it's like Megan had mentioned, it may not always look exactly like we celebrate today, but That's the thing about having historical sites around here. You can see history as it was.
You can see how things developed through the years and how things differ from how we do it today.
GaryMelchers.org with all the information. Again, it's Home for the Holidays, November 25th through the 30th. Time to get your gingerbread houses in Alma Withers.
Yes, indeed.
At Ferry Farm.
Yeah. Home for the Holidays is our theme this year. And the entry dates are November 28th through December the 3rd. Ribbons will be awarded on December the 4th. And the exhibit opens December the 4th and through the 30th. We're open 10 to 4 Monday through Saturday, noon to 4 on Sundays. You can do just the gingerbread exhibit, or you can take advantage and do the gingerbread exhibit and walk out to the Washington House under construction.
It's fascinating to see. It's changing daily. Megan Buttinger over at Kenmore. It is Wee Christmas, W-E-E, and it's the miniatures and the dollhouses, and just a great thing to see.
Absolutely. It's so much fun. It'll be open to the public on December 4th, be up through the whole month of December. You can come and see just the exhibit of dollhouses in our visitor center if you want, or you can combine it with a tour of the house and see the house decorated for Christmas as well. And then we have 12th Night coming up in January to sort of round out the season at Kenmore.
That is the 6th, 7th, and 8th of January. And, the grounds and everything, it's... At all three locations, the holidays are really a colorful and a festive time.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. I think it's really when historic house museums and historic sites shine their best.
Lots to talk with you about, Megan, and in the coming months, because you've been working a long time at on Kenmore itself. We'll get you to come in and talk about what you found and all the history there, and then also getting ready for the George Washington.
That's right.
Family house.
Have another house on the horizon.
David Barrett, Megan Buttinger, Alma Withers, thank you all for coming.
Thank you all,
and we will see you soon. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
I'm Bob Sack.